This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 84, The Mummy, The Tomb of the Dragon Emperor from 2008. Emperor. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen The Mummy 3?
What year did it come out?
2008.
That's when I saw it, 2008. And then today, that's the two times I've seen it. I saw it in 2008 and I watched it today, and very excited to talk about it.
Yeah, look, for
that's
me,
all I'll, say.
I'll tell you this, for me, I don't remember this movie. I don't even think I ever seen this movie. I don't know, it was in the back of my mind and it just erased itself from my memory.
You deleted it.
I deleted it. But other than that, guys, I'm going to get, oh my God. All right, other than that, let's get right into this movie review. We got the movie reviews. We got box office numbers. We're going to see what the critics and the audience scores. And let's see if this movie got affected with the box office, because one key actress did not return for the main role in this movie. So with that said, let's start it all with some box office numbers. The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Empire for 2008. Oh, man. Domestic, $102 million. International, $300 million. What on the worldwide heck? Total of $403 million on a budget. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
$145 million.
What did they spend that on? What did they spend that on? What? Maybe location filming. Maybe they filmed in location somewhere. Maybe Brendan Fraser, 7 years after the last movie, was really commanding a big check. Maybe it was Jet Li. I don't know. Even though he could film all his scenes in a couple days, he's barely in it. Okay. Well, you know what? This is the least amount of money worldwide. It still made over $400 million, but it's the least successful.
Well, it is. Well, it tells you that the franchise is, right? It's still there. People enjoy the Mummy franchise.
Sure. Yeah.
But It's just mind-boggling.
It wasn't a flop in any sense. It was just the least profitable.
It was, right? At $145 million, straight CGI, paychecks across the board. And it was filmed in China, I guess. I believe.
I blame China for the $300 million international. It had to be them going to see it. That's the only explanation that I could come up with. Jet Li is in it. It's set in China. You know, they like to see the movies that are set in their country. I blame China for this having $400 million.
Yeah, so look, with that said, let's go right into some Rotten Tomatoes scores and see what they say.
Okay. So this is okay. So I'll start with the audience score. Usually I start with the critic score. This time I'll start with the audience score, 30%, which is by far the lowest. Mm. As a matter of fact, it is 33% lower than the last movie, which was the lowest up to this point. So 30, but this one comes in with a critic score. Are you ready for this?
What?
12% on the old RT for The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, which, by the way, sounds like an attraction at a theme park. It doesn't really sound like a movie's name. You know, like, yeah. The Tomb of the Dragon Emperor sounds like if you went to an Asian theme park and got on, like, a cool indoor ride. That's pretty much what it sounds like. 12%. No, the critics didn't like it.
Mm. And what did the audience give it?
30.
Oh, okay.
Nobody liked it. Nobody liked it.
All right, look, we're going to toss those things out the window. We're going to give you guys our Rotten Tomatoes.
We liked it.
Yeah, maybe. Who never knows, right? Well, with that said, let's start it off with some lead characters, Rick and Evie.
Evie.
Played by someone else. But with that said, I'm going to let Nate start that off. Okay. What do you give it?
All right, so we got Maria Bello replacing Rachel Weisz. And Maria Bello is a fine actress. Don't get me wrong. I do like her. Matter of fact, I just watched a movie the other day that she was in. I like her. She's a good actress. The problem is she's not Rachel Weisz, and I've already seen two movies with Rachel Weisz, and that's who I want. I don't want Maria Bello. So it's nothing against her as an actress. She's fine. As a matter of fact, in the opening scene when she's reading the book, she sounds a lot like her. Like, she does her voice. She does the accent. Just the tone, close. But as soon as she has that dumb line where she looks up and she's like, it's a totally different person. We get it, movie. It's not her. You don't need to have this stupid line winking at us, you know, letting us know she's not Rachel Weisz. I hated that. So Maria Bello, she's a good actress, but it's not the same character. It's not the same character without Rachel Weisz. Number two, Brendan Fraser. Now, I don't know what he did between 2001 and 2007. He's horrible in this movie. There's one scene in particular with him and his son where they're on a mountain and they're talking about guns and stuff. And then he, like, right after is talking, and his line delivery, he sounds different. It doesn't even sound like the same character from the first two movies. Maybe because they're so far apart, he forgot how to play the role. You know, like, he just didn't have that Rick O'Connell in him anymore. I don't know. They were both, Maria Bello was fine. He was not good. I'm not going to give him the one. I'm going to give him a two because he still equipped himself well enough, like, in the action scenes, you know what I mean? And she tried her best. So I'll give it a two. It's not the worst ever, but it's a big step down from the previous two movies.
Yeah, look, man, I don't know what to tell you, man. I first of all, I don't even remember watching this movie, but when I saw the chick and I was like, who the hell is this? And I totally forgot that they replaced Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Said, yeah. You know, look, first of all, there is absolutely no way you could greenlight a third movie without the other actress. I don't care what it is. It doesn't even matter because you had both of them. That's what made the film. The fact is you replaced it with someone else. The chemistry was not there between her and Rick at all that we remember from the first two movies. It's just atrocious. I did not like her at all. She was horrible. She, in The Mummy 2, she's fighting everywhere. This one, she doesn't even remember how to fight. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Remember that? In Mummy 2, we talked about it, right? She knew how to fight. Yeah, you hated it, but guess what? That's a trait that she had, but they didn't give it to her.
But it happened. Yeah, exactly.
So they didn't give it to us, right? That was atrocious. The son, let me just get to this son business, okay? How the hell do you do a 360 with their son? Their son was British in the second movie. And now he's American. He was blonde in the second movie. He's brown hair in this movie. He was a genius in part two. He's a dumb American in the third movie. It's like, it's such a weird dynamic that someone literally wrote this movie. And I think whoever wrote this movie did not know the franchise. They did not see Mummy 2. They did not see Mummy 1 because these characters were all 360. Rick O'Connell is fly fishing and he looked like George of the Jungle doing it. It was like, you are not an action star in this third movie. And I'm like going bonkers. I'm like, did they just totally erase these people's, like...
The brother is the only one who seemed like the same character from the other two movies. He's the only one.
Yeah, only one. We didn't have the other guy, Arathim Bay. He wasn't back. They didn't bring him back. Was weird, which it doesn't matter, right? Because his story was already done. Yeah, he was in Egypt. Yeah. This time they took place in China. The main characters were all changed, and with that I gave this shit a one. They are a one. I'm sorry, like, you cannot give the main characters a total 360 makeover. I don't mind Mummy Returns, right? Because they didn't do it as crazy. This one is like straight up, he went from an action star to a dumbass in one movie, right? And before we go into the next thing, I have why Rachel Wrench Weisz did not return to the movie. She gave a thing. The reason why she turned it down is because she did not felt, it says here, it says, Weisz was uncomfortable with the idea of her character aging so quickly, going from a single mom in the first movie to the mother of a 10-year-old in the second movie, and now she was going to play another mother where the son goes from 21. So he goes ages. So he's 21 years
old. How was she a single mom? And she didn't have no kid in the first movie.
No, it just says she was a single woman. Single woman. She was like single. She wasn't with Rick.
She didn't even have no kids.
No. She was single woman. And then in the second one, she had the son, which he was 10 years old. And then in the third one, he was going to be 21. And then basically she didn't like the gaps, the year gaps that they were giving her. So she turned it down.
Yeah.
So she didn't like that. She turned it down. And at the time of filming, she was 37 years old, Rachel Weisz. So with that, I will say I'm so happy she did not attach her name to this because I think her career would have been destroyed with this movie. I don't know. Brandon Fraser's career tanked after this movie. She could have got that also. But with that said, let's get to Jet Li main villain.
Okay, so I don't understand why in the world they would hire an actor like Jet Li to play in this role other than the name and to make more money in China if he's just going to be CGI for most of the movie, right? Most of the runtime, he is a terracotta statue man who, and when he falls apart, he looks like, as one of our patrons said, a fried turd. That's exactly what he looks like. So, you know, like, why did they hire Jet Li for this role? I thought it could be interesting having an actor like him because you know what he could do as far as physical fighting and stunts and stuff like that. That could have made for some good fun. Am I wrong? I don't think I'm wrong. It could have made for some good fun. Jet Li, you know, he's only ever been a villain in like US movies or anything in Lethal Weapon 4. That was it. And you loved him in that movie. You know, like let him fight. But no, he's CGI. I'll say this. As far as a villain, you know what? I didn't watch this movie. I know I don't like the movie, but I didn't watch it looking to pick it apart. I watched it looking to see what I can give positive. You know what I mean? Because I don't like watching a movie just to hate it. Now, if it's bad, it's bad. And this movie's bad, but I do think he had some cool powers. You know, like if I'm going to say positives, as far as the mummy, I didn't like Imhotep in the second mummy. We already talked about that. He seemed like an uncle who was just there to hang out, you know? Here, at least this guy is formidable. He has powers. He has like the fire. And they explain why in the beginning, right? He could control the elements, fire. I thought some of that stuff was pretty cool. The CGI is not good, but the ideas are pretty cool. He is a threat. He's menacing. He's also not a mummy, but that's an argument for another time. We'll get to that in story. I gave him a 2 also because, you know, he does have power. He's not like atrocious, but he's waste. Like, it was a waste of, this should have not been Jet Li. It should have been some other guy. Just any random guy. Just make him into this guy. So I don't know. 2.
Yeah. I mean, you said everything. There's nothing more I can say. I thought Jet Li stunk in this movie. He did not fit in this movie. Again, it was really bad casting. Yeah, then, it was. Yeah. And then he became chocolate, like a chocolate-covered Jet Li. Right? He became chocolate-covered Jet Li. Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
It was just weird. He became chocolate. Like, he just started being out there. What is going on? Everyone became chocolate.
The terracotta. It's supposed to be terracotta, but it just looks like chocolate.
Yeah, it looks chocolate. Like, the CGI was got awful in these scenes. And
it was bad.
For 2008, and now knowing that it was $145 million budget, the CGI was got awful. I don't know what to
say. This was the year before Avatar came out. If you want a reference for CGI at the time, 1 year later, bad. Avatar came out, blew everyone's brains out. This movie came out and everybody looked like chocolate.
Yeah, it's bad. Look, Jet Li, again, when he was on screen, because Nate was right, my man was on screen for like 5 minutes. It looked like the beginning was cool. The ending was cool. But again, the ending at the end, he was chocolate into fire. Like, he went and he just burst into fire, which was even.
He could turn into a dragon.
I gave him a. Oh, my God. I gave him a 2. I agree with you. I gave him a 2 also. Because he was good on screen when he was physically on screen. He was really good. And I love the speech that he said in front of his army. I thought it was really good. Other than that, I mean, it was just atrocious. It reminded me of The Rock as Scorpion King. Useless, because he was just there for like a minute of the movie. Right. So anyway, other than that, let's get to your favorite action.
It's usually my favorite. Yeah. Okay. Again, trying to be positive. This movie has action. You know, that's a plus. There is action. But it's not very good. And I mostly blame the choice of director here, Rob Cohen. Now, Rob Cohen has made a couple of movies I enjoy. He directed Daylight with Sylvester Stallone. He directed the original Fast and Furious movie. I enjoy that movie. It's pretty good. But he also directed this and Stealth and The Hurricane Heist and a lot of other schlocky action movies. And the problem is, he's a schlocky action movie director who they gave $145 million to.
Like, went to his
pocket. And so, so all this looks like is really well-filmed schlocky action, if that makes any sense. So I guess on a plus, some of the action looks like the... Okay, let's give an example here. Let's go with the early action scene with the chase in the streets in China. Mm. You got the horses running and you got the chocolate Jet Li sitting on the tin and there's a car chase. And you know what I mean? Like, and it looks okay. It looks okay, but it is incredibly boring. There's no flash to it. There's no chutzpah in these action scenes, right? It's all like paint by numbers art. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you were coloring a coloring book and it told you what color to put everything, that's how this is directed. And Stephen Sommers, you know, he directed the first two. He got issues. He's too obsessed with CGI. You know, he has his own issues, but he's creative. You could tell the difference between a creative director and a guy who's hired to do a job. Rob Cohen was hired to do a job. He's not very good. So I'm not gonna give it the one either, because there is plenty of action. It's not very well executed. I'm gonna give it a two, but it's at least it's there. So I'll say that much.
Look, everything you said was spot on. It does have plenty of action, but the action scenes did not make sense for this movie, and it didn't go well. Like, to me, it didn't flow. Like, when you watch an action scene, it flows, right? The character runs in a car, then the car chase, or if they go into a plane, is a plane chase or boat chase, right? Or whatever, or fighting sequences in this movie was actually pretty good. Michelle Yao versus Jet Li was actually really good at the end of the movie.
Yep, I like that.
That's the only highlight of this film, was that fight between those two, because other than that, it was just a CGI fest of the
skeleton. CGI.
Yeah, the skeletons versus the chocolate factory, whatever you want to call
it. And the Yetis. Don't forget the Yetis.
Oh, the ugly Yetis. Oh, my gosh. We could go down the list of horrible.
Don't forget the Yetis.
Yeah, more CGI. But I'm not going to take too long on this. I gave it a two also, because I love the fight scene at the end between Michelle Yao and Jet Li. That was the best highlight of this film. Other than that, it's just straight up action crap fest.
Craption.
With that said, let's get to storyline.
Now, here's where we come to a very screeching halt. This movie. So listen, the movie opens and I don't remember. I went to theater, like I said, 13 years ago, and I saw this movie. There's only one thing I remembered, and then it happened, and my brain literally turns off. But anyway, the movie opens and it's like, okay, this is not bad. This is how the other two movies did, right? It sets up the story of the titular mummy, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not bad, but it's too long. It's way longer than the ones in the first two, right? This should be a 4 to 5 minute at most scene. This was like 10 minutes long, going and going and going and going. Like, there's like betrayal, and the lady loves the other guy, and she doesn't love Jet Li, and he's getting power. And it's too much. It was too much, like, going on, right? Then it starts. Now, it must be said, this is not a mummy film. He's not a mummy. If you look at the definition of a mummy, he doesn't fit in that. If you look at the real life definition of a mummy, Jet Li's character doesn't fit that description. And if you look at a film mummy, what is a film mummy, right? Like Egypt, wrapped in, you know, like there's very specific things. He's neither. He's a statue. He's a guy who's turned into a statue. That is not a mummy. This is not a mummy film. You know what I mean? I hate the setting. China is not a bad setting for a movie. It's a bad setting for a movie called The Mummy Anything. Okay, it's not a mummy movie. That's first of all, we got to get that out the way. Number two, I'm glad you brought up that Rachel Weisz article, because I hadn't even heard that. But I was sitting down watching this movie and I'm thinking, I'm like, wait a second, something's not adding up here. So I literally paused it. Okay, I had to pause it because I had to write down some notes on my phone. The first film takes place in 1926.
Mm-hmm.
Evie and Rick meet in 1926. That's when they meet each other.
Yep.
The second film takes place in 1933.
Yep.
In 1933, they have an 8-year-old child. Now, I don't know how good you are at math, but 26 plus 8 equals 1934. So the kid shouldn't even be 8 years old. It's impossible math. It doesn't even make any sense. Now, we fast forward to this film, which takes place in 1946. The kid is 21, yet they've only known each other for 20 years. So how in the hell do these two people who met 20 years ago have a 21-year-old child? It doesn't make any sense. And right then I said, nope, nothing else is illogical. I can't do it. When the Yeti kicks the guy and the other Yeti does a field goal thing, I nearly turned it off. I nearly shut it off. I said, I don't even want to watch the rest of this, because this is where I almost walked out the first time I saw it. I suffered through the rest. I give it a one. It's horrible. It's a terribly written movie. It has no logic. You know, I hate it. One.
Yeah, I agree with you. The storyline is just straight up ass. It is an ass movie. It's just straight up ass.
You're right.
Yeah, yes. I'm not going to take too much time, because this movie made absolutely no sense to put together and waste $145 million. Absolutely not. No. If Rachel Weisz was not coming back, you should not green light the film. And you're absolutely right. This is a mummy movie, not a Chinese action movie with CGI. Like, it makes no sense at all why they went down this route. I mean, right. I understand they did it fine. Whatever.
Something different. Okay, yeah. But then don't call it The Mummy.
But they should have did. Now that I started watching The Mummy, they should have did another mummy. Curtis. He's the one from Mummy's Hand and The Mummy's Tomb. It's from that. Imhotep, remember, he dies in the first movie,
yeah, yeah.
The Mummy. The next mummy in those old films are Curtis or something like that. Curtis or whatever the hell it is. They should have used that mummy. They should have resurrected that dude. And it could have been called The Mummy, whatever. But no, they went down your way with the Jet Li and just made no sense. Absolutely no sense. This is a dumpster fire from beginning to end because the minute this new chick comes out, you cringe and you just want to go, what is going on here? Because they had no chemistry. I didn't feel no chemistry between those two. It was just so ugh. But anyway, I gave it a 1. That is god awful, the storyline overall.
You gave it the right score, let me tell you that. All right, so overall, so I know I won't say I was generous. To me, I gave 2, 2, 2, then 1 in story. The movie itself, even with those 2s that I gave it, is such a slog to get through. Okay, it's shorter than the other 2 movies. It's the shortest one, and it feels like the longest one by far. It's so boring. The acting is mixed at best. The storyline makes no sense. They have a 21-year-old kid, even though they've only known each other for 20 years. There's the logic, the leaps in logic are out. And I didn't, the second one had some leaps in logic that I didn't like. This one takes the cake. It's even worse. It doesn't look good. It's kind of ugly. Like, there are moments that look okay. Whenever there's no CGI, the movie looks pretty great. Good.
Yeah.
As soon as the CGI shows up, it looks terrible. It's bad CGI. It's a waste of Jet Li. A waste. An absolute waste. A waste of Michelle Yeoh. She's a great actress. A waste of her talents. I'm going to also give it a 1 overall. It's a bad film. It's not very good. And this doesn't even fall in my coin phrase from last week of watchable crap. It's like unwatchable and also crap. It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I agree with you. This movie is absolute ass trash, bro. This is just, it's something that we're going to call from now on a waste of film. This is what this is. This is a waste of film. This is a movie that you're never going to put on. Okay.
No.
We thought the category of Rush Hour 3 was our tending pole. Now no, this it's is Mummy it. 3. Yeah, now is the Mummy 3. See, Rush Hour just graduated. It's out of the box. Now is Mummy 3. So now
Rush Hour 3 is way better than the Mummy 3.
It is.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I watch it 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, this movie is straight garbage. I do not like the fact that they changed actresses. Brandon Fraser is more dumber than what he was in the other movies. He had a tattoo that he was just badass, and he's catching knives. And this one, he can't even catch a knife. How's it? What's going on here?
He can't even catch a fish. Give me a break. He can't even catch a fish. I mean, what kind of movie is this? You're telling me this man is going on all these adventures. He can't catch a fish. He hooks his own neck.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad.
It is. I give it a flat 1. It is god awful. I'm never putting this crap on again.
This is one of my lowest scores. I know for a fact I gave Assassins a 5, but this is.
This is nowhere near Assassins.
I won't watch either one again, but this one was really bad.
I'd rather watch Assassins over than this one. No, but, all right, total points.
Yeah, if they put a gun to my head, I would just say, just shoot me. total points. That is a 2, 2, 2, 2, a 1 and 1. That's an 8 for me. 8 out of 25. Very low. You go under 10. This is a very bad movie. So, yeah, it's an 8 for me.
Yeah, I gave it a 7. 25.
We're close.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it a 2 for villain and then action scene a 2. Everything else is just straight 1 for waste of film.
It is. It's a waste of life. So I wasted my time. You wasted your time. But you know what? This is what we're here for, right? Like, if we're going to do a series, we got to watch them all.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to put this back in. I bought this 4K box set. I'm never putting The Mummy 3 back in. Yeah. I guarantee it. If I meet someone who's like, hey, Nate, you have The Mummy 3. I've never seen it. I'm like, go watch it at your house. Because we're not watching it here. I'll tell you that right now. It's never going back in the player. So I could live the rest of my life happy knowing I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah. All right, Nate, tell everybody what's coming up.
All right. So this is almost wrapping up The Mummy. We got one more film that we're going to be doing in this particular series. We talked about it. Me and Alex talked about it. We said, should we do the remake with Tom Cruise or should we do the Scorpion King? We decided on Scorpion King because it's a character that's at least in this Mummy universe. Yeah. Rather than a straight up reboot. So even though it's more of like a side story, it's part of this Mummy universe. So we're going to do the Scorpion King, which have you ever seen the Scorpion King?
Nope.
Oh, okay. No, I did
not. Does it have you The Rock?
What? It has The Rock.
Okay.
It has Kelly Hu. And I tell you right now, it's better than this movie. So at minimum, you will have a better time watching that than you did watching this at minimum. Okay. Now, you may not like it, but it's better than this. So we're going to be doing that. And then, of course, ranking. And then this week, our second episode this week, we're going to be wrapping up our Mel Gibson month with the fan voted on film Braveheart. And then, of course, next week, we will rank the Mel Gibson movies, which I'm going to be honest, we haven't reviewed Braveheart yet. But I think so far, pound for pound, Mel Gibson month been one of the best. All the movies were good. All the movies were good. We didn't give none of them bad reviews. So. Mm-mm. Better than Stallone month. Better than what other actor did we do? Statham month.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Jason Statham. Yeah.
So far, my man Mel has done us good. So we'll wrap it up with Braveheart and we'll give you our thoughts on that.
Yeah. So if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out a podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys podcast. Please follow us on Instagram at Action Movie Guys podcast or Levels of Geeks. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and support the channel. Hit the like buttons if you enjoy the video. Please hit those notification bells so anytime reviews drop, you guys will be notified. Till then, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.